Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Hollywood Podcast, covering the latest in film, TV, streaming, and social media. I'm your host, Max Geschwind. Stay tuned for today's episode. Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to today's episode. I'm so excited to be joined by Max Burkholder, who is now in Peacock's newest hit series, Ted, based on the popular film franchise developed by Seth MacFarlane. It's now streaming on Peacock. Max, thanks for chatting with me.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Excited to talk.
So I want to begin at how you first got involved with the show.
Definitely already had a bit of a working relationship with him beforehand. You know, like you said, Family Guy, the Orville, you know, the animated stuff and the live action thing. When I was doing voices for all those shows, I was like a little kid. Like I started, I think, when I was like 6 years old. So I had met him and worked with him, but there wasn't, you know, anything you could call a working relationship. You know, he didn't have much in common with 7 year old me, who was just coming in there being like, you ever heard of One Piece? Just so hyped. And then on the Orville, I only worked on that for about 2 weeks, I want to say, when we were shooting at Disney Ranch that summer. So we had definitely worked together before. This is certainly like the closest our working relationship has ever been. But certainly I don't think had me in mind for the part to begin with. Mm-hmm. He did call me when I got it, but it was, you know, the same process as always. You know, you put yourself on tape, you send it in, you wait for notes, all that stuff. But he did call me once the decision had been made, which is, you know, above and beyond what people normally do.
Yeah. And since you had worked with Seth before, even though this was the closest you had ever worked with him yet, but did that previous work on shows like Cleveland Show, Family Guy, Orville, did that help in coming on to Ted in terms of working on a Seth MacFarlane show and working with Seth? Was there a special shorthand there that wouldn't necessarily be there on other projects?
I think the shorthand sort of came from, you know, certainly the experience filming and recording those shows definitely helped. But I think more than anything, it was growing up watching them. Like his sense of humor is very foundational to my own. So that made it really a lot easier to sort of step into the role with, you know, the timbre of these jokes, the nature of the writing, the timing, the pacing. You know, when we got to do, you know, a bit of improv on set, it was a lot easier to slip into just because, you know, the shorthand already existed in my brain from just 2 decades of consuming that content.
Yeah, and although you worked with him in the past, I believe this was the first time you were actually directed by him on a live action project, not in a voice role. So can you share how that added another level to you working with him?
That, yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy watching him work. He's wearing 1,000 different hats at once, and somehow he has the brain power to do all of them as close to perfect as it gets without becoming boring. And then still manages to find time to like improvise and have fun and dick around. It's crazy. Like I learned so much watching him of just how much hard work and dedication it actually takes to get something off the ground and make it good, even if you just have one job and he had a million. You know, he was doing the voice live every day. He was directing every episode. Like, it wouldn't have been, I don't think this show would have been possible without him at the helm.
Yeah. I want to talk about coming into a project that already had this pre-existing fan base, since this is obviously IP based on the popular franchise or the two films that came out before it, which just did crazy at the box office. Can you speak to the pressure of coming onto a project which is already part of this pre-existing franchise that had its built-in base of fans? Was there a particular pressure there in doing right by the character that audiences have come to know and love through Mark Wahlberg's previous iteration?
With the character, at least, it's very fortunate that it's a prequel and not a sequel, because yeah. I don't have to match anything that he did. You know, I've got this grace that I feel has been extended because I'm playing young him before he turns into that. And there's so much time that we don't see for spin to get put on that ball. So I was very lucky in that I was able to, you know, sort of step into it and make it my own a little bit. And also, I mean, the writing is fantastic and impeccable. So there wasn't a whole lot I had to do to make it feel like John. A lot of it was already there in the text. I would say the pressure definitely came from, like you just talked about, so many people already love this, you know, and this being sort of the biggest thing that I've ever been a lead of, there was a pressure for the first little bit, you know, during table reads, during pre-production, and even into the first, you know, week or two of shooting, where I was thinking to myself, oh God, can I hack this? Is this something that I'm equipped for? And then it was just such a kind, welcoming, open, and fun set that, you know, a couple weeks in, I can't remember the exact moment, but there was a bit of improv that made everybody laugh. And I was just like, okay, wait, I know how to do this. I can do this. And I kind of settled in from there.
It sort of broke the ice, sounds
yes,
like.
Yes, very much.
And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but coming on to TED, it was your first time really acting like in a live action project in a couple of years. I know you had done a lot of voice work, but what was it like coming back onto a set? Because I know you went to college and then came back.
Yeah, I went to college. I did a couple of really good indie projects in college that were very fun. I had my first experience with theater in college, which I fell in love with and really focused on while I was there. And then, you know, once I took a leave of absence, COVID happened and, you know, everything absolutely shut down. And then I moved to New York and then I had to move back for TED. So there was a lot of like jet setting around, but it was really nice coming back in front of the camera again. You know, I grew up on sound stages in front of cameras, and there's something about it that really does feel like home. It really does. There's something weirdly, I know not everybody likes being in front of a camera, but it is weirdly relaxing for me the second we start rolling. And, you know, I was coming in while we were shooting TED through the same gate at Universal that I would come in every day for Parenthood. Like it definitely felt like a homecoming, very nostalgic.
Yeah, very full circle moment.
Yeah.
I want to circle back talking about the character of John. Was there a lot of watching and rewatching the first two films to study Mark Wahlberg's performance and his mannerisms and the way he would speak and informing your work?
Yeah, definitely a bit. I wanted to be really careful not to do a Mark Wahlberg impression and be like, you know, like you said, like young John Bennett. But you know, I would have been an idiot not to use the, what, like 3.5, almost 4 hours worth of data that there is in the, oh, excuse me, in the two movies. That would have been, yeah, silly. So I definitely, you know, in preparation of the audition, and then especially once I got it and, you know, started working with a dialect coach and everything, watched and rewatched both the movies. You know, he's got a Boston accent, obviously, but he's just like, he's so breathy. He's like, hey, what's up, guys? Like there's just so much of that. So definitely went into a lot of that and then did some work with the dialect coach on my own of just trying to make it seem a little more natural to me.
You had help from a dialect coach, but correct me if I'm wrong again, I believe where you went to college was Harvard. So did spending some time already in the area, did that help you in nailing down the accent, just being exposed every which way you go to someone who has the Boston accent?
I think so. Yeah, it was, you know, not so much in Cambridge, you know, where I was living, but, you know, when we'd go out into like Boston proper, it was all over the place, both the accent and the energy. I remember like right after I moved there, I was walking around in Boston and my mom's from the South. So I have certain mannerisms where if I don't care if you're a stranger, if we make eye contact on the street, you're going to get a little smile and a little nod. That's just how I was raised. And it was a couple weeks after I moved there, I was in Boston and, you know, I was 19. I probably looked like I was about 14 or 15. And I nodded at a woman on the street. And she flipped me off and she went, hey, fuck you, buddy. Go fuck yourself. And I was like, oh, God. Oh, this is what this place is like.
Right.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Big culture shock.
Oh, yeah.
I want to talk about acting opposite Ted. You've been acting for a really long time, but I think this is probably the first time you've had to act opposite someone who wasn't actually there, but who will end up being there when we see the finished product of the show. Can you speak to the challenges as an actor of not working off of a fellow actor who is not physically there on set with you, as is the case with Ted?
Right. Yeah, it's annoying. It's really annoying. It's you get over it pretty quickly after a couple weeks. You start to be able to weirdly hallucinate him. And it was definitely helpful that Seth was there doing the lines live. Otherwise, it would the pacing just would have been impossible to get, and I don't think the comedy would have worked as well as it does. You see interviews with people like Ian McKellen being very upset that he's not acting with real people, and I 100% get that of like acting with no real people at all, but it was helpful having, some live actors there on set. But the production sent us all the people in the main cast Ted dolls, like life-size Ted dolls when we got cast in advance of shooting, and told us to bring him around with us and talk to him and put him in different places in your house just to get an idea of his physicality and where you should look if you're talking to him, if he's like sitting in a chair or something. And that prep work definitely helped also.
And did you bring your Ted bear to set to help you with the eye
No,
line or?
I didn't bring him to set. They had plenty on set already, but when I got him, I wasn't yet allowed to talk about that I had been cast. But they were telling me to bring me around everywhere. I was like, "Is this okay?" I was talking with one of the producers, and he was like, "Yeah, it's totally fine if you want to bring him out around with you, as long as you're not afraid of people thinking you're a crazy person who's that obsessed with the Ted movies." And I was like, "Heard, awesome. I'm bringing him out tonight." And I brought him out to a bunch of different bars. Didn't even realize until then how recognizable of a character he was, and people did indeed think that I was an insane person who thought that this teddy bear was my best friend.
And Seth, he would be doing Ted's lines every day on set during filming, but wouldn't necessarily be in front of you, right? Like he would be maybe behind you or to the side. So
Yeah.
how distracting was that for you as an actor to sort of keep your attention in one place, even though the voice that you're interacting with is, from a different place where
That
you're
is a very good
standing or sitting?
question, and the answer is very, very distracting. For the first couple weeks, I probably ruined like 8, 9 dozen takes, because I would be talking and looking where Ted's supposed to be, and then Seth would say something from, the other room or off to the side, and I would deliver my next line directly at him, which doesn't work. It's not where fucking Ted is. Yeah, definitely distracting, but again, the only reason why it worked, that's his character. He understands the pacing more than anybody. He understands the comedy more than anybody. Yeah.
Just stepping back for a minute, what was your relationship like with the films? Was it something you had already been familiar with? I know that when they came out, like we were kids and they were R-rated, so they technically weren't for us, but I think kids saw the Ted films anyway.
I watched them anyway. It didn't matter. My mom curses like a goddamn sailor. There was not really anything to protect me from, except for, I don't know, like drugs, maybe something like that. But definitely watched, I watched them in theaters right when they came out. I was actually, I was a little kid who was often around the Family Guy studios. So when they were doing the table read for the first Ted movie and they needed a kid to play the creepy little kid character, they were just like, "Oh, let's get Max in here to do that." So I was the creepy little kid character in the first table read of the first Ted movie. So in a weird way, I've been involved with it since the beginning, since I was way too young to be a part of that franchise.
So you were technically a part of the films going back to the development of the first one, it sounds
Oh
like.
yeah.
For my last question, given the immense success both critically but also viewership wise of the show, I believe it already is breaking records on the Peacock streaming service. It seems like a season two is only destined to happen. I know this was initially just supposed to be a mini
Event
series, I
series.
believe. Yeah, an
Yeah.
event series. But is there any word on a season two? What do we know?
There's no word on a season two. I wish I had news. Honestly, either positive or negative on that, just because I just want to find out. I would love to do one 100%. The response has been insane. It's clear that the people want one. So at this point, it's out of my hands, but I can't imagine anything more fun than going back and getting to run it back and do it again with these people.
Yeah, and I think it's just that sense of nostalgia, even though the films weren't that long ago, just going back a few years to these stories is something that people, I think, were just so hungry to see. And so congrats on the great success with the show. For my very last question, would love to know if there's any upcoming projects that you're either working on now, about to work on, that we have to look forward to.
No, nothing upcoming that's certain enough in any way to discuss. I'm just very excited to be back auditioning again, even if I'm not actively working at this moment. There's, it's tough filling a day sometimes, and when something comes down the pike that's cool, even if I don't get it, I'm excited that I just have that to work with again now that the strike is over. I'm glad we got a good deal. But I'm just hyped to get back to work in whatever fashion it looks like on whatever project it happens to be.
Yeah, lots of stops and starts over the last few years with COVID and the strikes. So it's great that things are looking good as we're, into 2024 now.
Y'all can't see me, but I'm crossing my fingers.
Yes, you are. Well, thank you so much, Max, and congrats again on the success of the show. I appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for tuning in. Please take a moment to subscribe to the Hollywood Podcast for free on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Until next time, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Max Geschwind. Thanks for listening.